Go to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12. As I was praying and anticipating this day, which I have for some time since we decided we'd do it. And by the way, I'd like to thank you for considering this and letting me have the privilege of coming up here. And I mean that. It really does bless me very much to be able to share God's word with you, because you're God's wonderful people. I really appreciate you making it available, and for Bob and Karen and Steve making it available. Sure had fun here earlier figuring out how to set this room up together as a family. Just having a good old time. So I really appreciate it. But as I was praying this morning, I was thinking about, well, why do I want to do this? And I'm sure there's other verses, but this one came to mind in Romans 12, and in verse 1. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. I thought this would be a wonderful reason to do this, so that we can together. We're here to work God's word. That's why I'm here. To work God's word with you. To present it so that you understand it and can do something with it. I recommend that you, unless you have a photographic memory, take notes so that you can refer back to them. I also recommend, as believers, us talking about what we learn so that we can brush up on what we learn. The aim of education, any education, should be action. The aim of these 2 weeks are action to the end, that we may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, which in the Word of God is referred to as the renewed mind. So we're here to work God's Word in its inherent and inerrant accuracy, to the end that we walk out on the Word of God literally and believingly. An old man going a lone highway came an evening, cold and gray, to a chasm vast, deep and wide, through which was flowing a sullen tide. The old man crossed in the twilight dim. The sullen streams had no fears for him. But he turned with safe on the other side and built a bridge to span the tide. Old man, said a fellow who was near, you're wasting strength by building here. Your journey will end with the ending day. You never again must pass this way. You have crossed the chasm deep and wide. Why build you the bridge at evening tide? The builder lifted up his old gray head. Good friend, in the path I have come, he said, there followeth after me today a youth whose feet must pass this way. This chasm that has been not to me, to that fair-haired youth may a pitfall be. He too must cross in the twilight dim. Good friend, I am building the bridge for him. In the Gospel of John, chapter 10. And in verse 10 is a very familiar scripture to many of us. It says, the thief cometh not but for to steal. John 10:10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. So there is the wonderful methodology of the adversary laid out before our eyes in a beautiful way. That's his purpose. And Jesus Christ's purpose is stated in the latter part of this verse. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. The reason God has called us and allowed us to live in this day and time is because of what Jesus Christ offered us, what he made available to us through his life, death, ascension, and resurrection, seated in the heavens. He came that we might have a life and that we might have it more abundantly. John 14. Can you hear me okay in the back?
Mm-hmm.
Good. And in verse 12 it says, Jesus Christ speaking, says, verily, verily. You know what verily, verily means? Who here knows the Bible?
Amen.
Amen and amen, or truly, truly, or
surely,
surely, surely, surely, surely, surely, surely, no, not too surely, 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 verily, verily, amen and amen, truly, truly, surely, surely, I don't have it in my Bible, I know it means something like that, amen and amen, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, he that what?
Believeth on me.
Have you done that?
Yes.
Me too. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Let's stop and take a breath. It's one of those verses that you look at, you nod your head, yes, that's true, and inside you say, how could I ever do the works of Jesus Christ? What did he do? He healed the sick, raised the dead, cast out lepers, made the dumb hear, what if dumb, made them talk, made the deaf hear, and he made the blind see. He blessed people wherever he went, wherever there was believing. The works that I do, ye shall do also. Either he lied or he told the truth. If he lied, then he can't be our Savior. And we might as well just party the rest of our life or whatever you enjoy doing. Lambada, I suppose. We had another word for that dance when I grew up. He said here, the works that I do shall he do what? And greater works. Oh, if Jesus Christ was God, and he makes a statement here that greater, I can do greater works than God. The whole Bible falls pieces if he was God. He wasn't God, he was the Son of God. God's God, Jesus is the Son of God, and we're God's kids. Saints. All about body of Christ. Works that I do shall I do also, and greater works than these shall I do. Why?
If I go into my
father. Because he go, did he go yet?
Yeah.
He's been gone. That's right. He's seated at the right hand of God. And we just got to repeat this verse until we believe it. We got to put this on in our minds and believe it. Oh, well, I'm not good enough. Well, join the group. I mean, who here is good enough? Not because we're good that we got born again. I know that's true for me. 2 Timothy, right after 1 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We just got to set the greatness of God's word before we get into some things. In 2 Timothy chapter 2. All there?
Yep.
I'm confident. I stated why I was here, didn't I? I gave you the purpose why I was here and what I would love to accomplish. You ought to think about why you're here. If you are here for any other reason than learning God's word and applying it in your life, please don't come again. Because that's the only reason we should be here. This isn't because it's fun to be with each other. We can. I could join an Elks Club for that or some stupid thing. BPOE. Study to show thyself, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Who do we need to approve ourselves unto? Amen. The word study means it takes work, diligent effort. Spudazo. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I don't need to be ashamed when I rightly divide the truth. So it would be smart for me to do that, so I don't ever have to be ashamed. If I can look God square in the eye, figure of speech, then have eyes, then I'm not going to have a problem looking you in the eyes. God's a lot bigger than you, and God's a lot bigger than me. And I won't have to be ashamed if I really divide his word. You know, it's like a person that lies. If you lie, you got to remember the lie. And then you got to remember who you told that one lie to and make sure that you didn't change that lie. Because if you change the lie, you're going to get caught with your pants down. Not physically necessarily, but... So we study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that doesn't need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We do not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing God's word. It's 1 Thessalonians, just a couple books to the left. 1 Thessalonians 2. And in verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians 2, it says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you all there? Good. When you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of who?
Man.
But as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that do one thing. This word of God effectually. And that word effectually means with the desired results. It effectually worketh also in us to do one thing, and that's believe. All right, I want us to do something now, and this is one of the few requirements I ask of you in this particular advance. And I know I didn't write it out for you ahead of time, so this might be difficult for you to do, but I'd like you to do this right now, okay? I'd like everybody in the room to raise their right hand, please. Okay, good. Now put it down. You knew what was available, you knew how to receive it, you knew what to do with it after you got it, your needs and wants were parallel, and you knew that God's willingness equaled his ability. You just believed. You believed my word. We brought the word into being, didn't we? We believed literally that I wanted you to raise your hand, and you believed not only that I said that, but you believed you could do it, and you did it. That is believing. Well, now, maybe if you had a lame arm right now, it might have been a little difficult. Maybe if we never did that before, it would be a little difficult. Believing's like that also. You just believe, you believe until it comes back, and pretty soon believing becomes a habit. And what a wonderful habit to acquire, the believing habit. You know what the word addiction means? I do. I do. Because it's in the Bible. It's in 1 Corinthians 16:15 or something. It says they've given, addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That word addict means giving up something for the constant practice of another thing. And they. How about let's make it a goal in this advance to give up the constant practice of unbelief to believing. Let's addict ourselves to that. Somebody made a big hit out of singing Addicted to Love. Robert Palmer or some guy. You see, God's work works in the lives of those who work it. Thank you. And he also works in those of the lives of people who literally believe it. You see, throughout all the ages, men and women who really have desired to love God, notice how I phrase that, who have desired to love God, fall short because of the traditions of men, because of what people say, or because of what so-and-so does. Our standard isn't what I do or what you do. Our standard is God's Word. Keep us away. You know what that does? That keeps us away from being critical of each other. Because it's the Word. It's the Word. I've got no problem with you being a sinner. I'm a sinner too. We can help each other. Matthew 15. Verse 8. The traditions of men. This is the record where the disciples forgot to wash their hands before they ate. Oh, golly. How many of us ate tonight? Any of us? Well, if we did we wash our hands? I never. I don't know if I did or not. I doubt it. I don't think I ate. Did I?
I wouldn't know.
She lives with me. Huh?
Because you left before
now. Oh, that's right. Joyce served me. I know what happened. She served me these steak sandwiches. They're poison.
Oh.
One, I'll tell you what, that was deep. Because she smelled them and couldn't smell them.
Oh.
That's pretty cool. Thought about that. Anyway. It says, this people draw nearer unto me with their mouth. This is Jesus reproving these religious people. And they honoreth me with their lips. Oh, I love you, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. You're the greatest, Jesus. But their heart is far what?
Amen.
That's what the Word says. Can you say, I love the Lord Jesus Christ? Remember that? I love the Lord Jesus Christ. You might mean it, you might not. Determined in the heart, isn't it? Amen. We shouldn't do anything because of the traditions of men, but that we can put on God's Word effectively and believingly. Our great concern in life should A, become knowledgeable of the accuracy and integrity of God's Word, and two, or B, walk in the power that's been given to us so that we can minister and bless God's people. See, not just for our own benefit, that would be selfish, but that we can bless others with the greatness of God's knowledge and the greatness of His power. What a fantastic honor and privilege and responsibility. And to do this, we must understand God's Word to the end of believing. That's all. Back to John 14. Let's read that one again. Verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. It can only be the adversary that talks God's loving people out of God's Word. It can only be the adversary we read earlier. The thief cometh not before to steal, kill, and to destroy. He comes to steal the believing that's recorded in the book of Romans. He comes to destroy, steal, kill. He comes to kill the love that's written in the book of Ephesians. And he comes to destroy the hope that's recorded in the book of Thessalonians, which those three books record all the doctrine that's ever been given to the church, which you and I belong to this day. That's his name. Because I go unto my Father. He already did this. He already went into his Father. Every twig fellowship, every fellowship that represents the greatness of God's Word should be fully equipped with the full operation of all nine manifestations. It's in the twig where God's Word must live. And people should grow with the Word of God. The world consistently tries to teach us that there is no one authority. So-and-so says this, but so-and-so says this. You know, point, counterpoint, right? The whole world is point, counterpoint. What do you think about AIDS? Well, I think that if we got that chemical that's in France over here, yeah, France, and we injected people in America, I think that we wouldn't have the AIDS virus. I think that if we did not use disposable diapers, there would be a hole in the ozone layer. You know, opinions are like ears. Everybody has them. The world tries to teach us that there's no one authority, for the world experiences the greatest teacher. We live in a world that if it feels good, do it. And do it till you're satisfied. Well, experience isn't the greatest teacher. God and His Word says in 2 Peter chapter 1, somebody can go there and read it. Who wants to read? Okay, Lance, 2 Peter 1, I think verse 3. If it isn't, it's verse 2. Read verse 2 and 3.
Sure.
Then I'll be safe.
Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us.
No, that's great.
Hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness.
There it is. Through a knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue, right?
Yep.
That's it, man. Where do we get a knowledge of Him that's called us to glory and virtue? Through looking at a tree?
No, the Word.
The Word of God. It's the Word of God that God has magnified above all His name. It's the Word of God that holy men of God spake as they were moved by God. That's how we got the Word. And God's not a man that He should lie, not the Son of Man that He should repent. He's never said anything He wouldn't do, and that which He said is good. And it has everything that pertains to all life and godliness. If people want to know about AIDS, they better go to the Word of God to find out the solution. They want to know about how to handle the drug problem, they ought to go to the Word of God. They want to know how to take care of the earth, they ought to go to God's Word, because it covers everything from nuts to bolts. All things that pertain unto life and godliness through a knowledge of Him that's called us to glory and what?
Perfect.
Amen. Hallelujah. Where are we here? John 14 still? Yep. The world says experience is the greatest teacher. If God is the product of our experience, then we don't need to obey God, and He has no ultimate authority. If God is the product of my experience, then I don't need to obey God and His Word. And He has no ultimate authority. You have to think about that one. What if God isn't the product? Experiences come and go, but the Word of God liveth and abideth forever. Your experience and mine may differ, and it doesn't matter. The Word says we were all without hope and without God. We were dead in trespasses and sins. You want to talk about miracles? People always want miracles. Well, how about being thankful for the miracle, for all miracles? We were dead, now we live. Pretty great. 2 Timothy 3:16. You don't have to go there. It says all Scripture is given by what?
Inspiration of God.
Well, you better go there. We got to read the book, lest we know it. 2 Timothy, right after 1 Timothy. The Word of God is the will of God. The greatest secret in the world today is that the Bible is the revealed Word and will of God, or the Word of God is the will of God. Chapter 3, verse 16 says, all what?
Scripture.
Is given by inspiration of God. By inspiration of God is the Greek word theopneustos, which means God breathed. God doesn't literally breathe, so therefore it's a what?
Vigorous
speech. What gives emphasis to the word. It adds oomph to it. All Scripture is God breathed and is what?
Profitable.
Profitable means it's beneficial. It's beneficial. And it's profitable for it. Doctrine, which means what?
Right believing.
Right believing, which is recorded in the three church epistles, Romans, Ephesians, and Thessalonians in our administration. Doctrine, right believing. Profitable for doctrine. Reproof, which is what? When not believing what?
Rightly.
When we're not believing rightly, we are reproved. And correction, which is back to believing right, which is instruction in righteousness. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Man, it's fantastic. Ephesians 1. We'll probably go there later, but that's all right. We'll go there now. And in verse 18, one of my prayers for this particular event, not only for your life, but also for mine. In verse 18, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Most people be blessed just to have a little, but we can know, not question, not doubt, that we can know. And God doesn't want us to be stupid. He doesn't want us to be ignorant. It says one place in Corinthians that we should not be ignorant of Satan's devices. It says in 1 Corinthians 12:1. I want to read this. 1 Corinthians 12:1. This is just fantastic. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 starts the explanation of the nine manifestations of the Spirit. Ends in chapter 14, and in between is the love of God. Anyway, chapter 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual matters, should read, brethren, I would not have you what?
Ignorant.
God doesn't want us ignorant concerning the matters spiritually. He wants us to be smart. We know far more about matters that are far less important and far more difficult to understand. We know a lot more about computer technology, the colors of the rainbow and why they're there. I don't really know too much more, but you guys do probably. But we know so much about so many things that are so harder to understand, and they don't mean a hill of beans. You know, a lot of you guys, how many of you still are in school, some sort of school? Raise your hand. This is a hand raise. Look at all you guys that are in school. How many have taken algebra? Okay, great. That's a good one. Great. Praise the Lord. Have at it. I flunked it four times trying to say it. I was in school twice. Figure algebra out. Yeah, but I dare you to use it once you graduate. Just once. Oh, but we got to teach it. You never know when you need that. What was the other stupid thing? Geometry, yeah. Like I'm going to use a theorem in my life. See, I get frustrated just thinking about that. It was so embarrassing. And I couldn't understand, I couldn't figure it out. Bob laughing for the ace of polish. Great. I'll tell you what, here's one maybe I get on you. You know there's over 500 zones to hit a baseball within the strike zone? Oh, yeah, okay. And I know them. And you don't. Well, point is, there's a lot of things in life that are far more difficult to understand than the Word of God. The Word of God's simple. It is simple. Truth is always simple. Error is always complicated. I ain't saying algebra is based on error, but I can't stand it. History, politics, there's a great one. Go ahead and explain that to me. Politics. Anyone? Great, thank you. I can't understand it. I vote for the guy who says God the most. I don't know. So much of learning is a result of studying and application. They have this thing called vocational school, where you will go to a school to learn something, and then they will allow you to practice what you learn. I like that kind of a school, because then that's real education. You learn it, and then you apply it. Art schools like that, I guess, like music schools. That's good. That's how we should do it. We should study and apply. 1 John 4:4 says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the what?
World.
Amen. Matthew 10. First one. It says, when he called the 12, and when he, Jesus Christ, had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Verse 8, to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers. All leprosy was cancer on the outside of the skin. That's all it was. Heal the sick. I want to get to the last session already, but I can't. We've got to build it. So, okay. This here is written to servants of God. Yesterday we celebrated the birthday of the Christian church, where for the first time it was made available for every believer to have Christ in them, the hope of glory. The Bible refers to it as the inner man, the inward man, the new creation. It's Christ in. It's totally in. Every cell of our body, it's Christ in. Here these men had the privilege of being with the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a privilege that must have been. What a great privilege that must have been. But when he went to the bathroom and left them there standing, was he with them?
No.
No. Bad illustration. But when he wasn't with them, he wasn't with them. He's now in us. And that never leaves us. He's always in us. The same power that Jesus Christ had. John 14. Gosh, you know, you think you get tired of hearing this or teaching it or something. I mean, I just can't get away from this. It's so great. God's word is just so great. A lot of other things aren't great. God's word is. Verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these, because I go unto my Father. You know, community and social belief can affect people at times, but as individuals, we can always rise above it. A knowledge and application of God's word makes it possible for us as believers to live victoriously. Our quest is to dare to believe God's word. Circumstances never alter God's word. Never. And it's not true because we experience it. It's true because God's word says so. If we never rise up to believe God's word, it's still true. God's word never changes. Nor does God, because in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, it says, I, the Lord God, change not. And you know, you can put a little slash on your notes. We're going to another teaching. In all of the annals of grace and glory, the unmatched, the unequaled, the unparalleled and complete excellence is the calling of the one body. In all of the annals of God's glory and grace, the unmatched, the unequaled, the unparalleled and complete excellence is the calling of that one body that you and I have the privilege of belonging to. This is the body of the church, which Christ is the head. And if this is an unequaled excellence, then if this is an unequaled and unparalleled excellence, then language is absolutely emptied of all of its meaning. any attempts to alter God's word is foolish and feeble. According to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, the calling of believers goes back before the foundations of the world. According to Ephesians 1, 4. The calling of believers, the body that you and I belong to, goes back before the foundations of the world. According to Ephesians 1, verse 21, the calling of believers goes up, far above all principalities and power. Remember Ephesians 1, 4, we call back before the foundations of the world. According to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 21, it goes up, far above all principalities and power. And according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, the called out body are already seated. And whenever you see that word sat, seated, or rest, it's a completely completed deal. According to Ephesians 2, 6, the called out body are already seated in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus while here upon earth. And according to Ephesians 3, 17, the called believers are to be rooted and grounded in Him. Now, go to Ephesians chapter 1. Don't worry, we'll read all of them. Bless your heart. It's scurrying. Ephesians 1, verse 4. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without fault.
No.
What?
Without blame.
You better say no. Then say without fault. It says holy and without blame before Him in love. It doesn't say without sin. It doesn't say without fault. It says holy and without blame before Him in love. God chose us. The Creator in heaven and earth chose us. Israel was called in Jacob, and they still stuck together. You know, that is incredible. What about the church of the body of Christ? Boy, they're always fighting. People always mad at everybody. Criticizing, condemning, and complaining about people. You find more love in a bar than you find in most fellowships. You find more love at a stupid disco than you find in fellowships. You find more love in an Elks Club, Boys Club, Little League, than you find in most Christian churches. What a disgrace the Christian church has been to what Christianity represents. It has been a total disgrace. No love. God, you ever want to talk to gossipy people, go to church or go to fellowship some places. Drive you to drink. The thick-headed Israel, as screwed up as they were, they stuck together. What about the church of the body that you and I belong to that God called out before the foundations of the world? Because people get it all screwed up. They read, holy without blame, and they think, holy without sin. Then when one person sins, a freak in their minds will stick around with me for 4 hours. Well, maybe seven. I mean, come on! If I had to deal with that in my head, I'd blow up. If I had to think I was perfect, I'd just blow up. I'd explode, Jack. I'd snap. But that is not a pretty sight. Verse 17 of chapter 1. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, he may know, not question, not doubt, what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. The Word of God is what makes our light shine. The Word of God is what enlightens our understanding. If you ever really want to look at a man's soul, look in his eyes and pray that you understand. You'll never understand his whole soul, but you'll know where he's coming from if you really believe God. The eyes of his understanding. Colossians 1:27 says it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christ in us, the hope of glory. His eyes are behind my eyes. Did he have eyes of understanding?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
You bet he did. His eyes are behind our eyes. If we want our eyes enlightened, if we want understanding in our life, if we, man, we're going to get it because it's Christ in us. He fills us according to our hunger. We get so shining so brightly that when people look at us, they see Christ. And don't kid yourself. People look at us before they ever look at the book. They look at your life and they say, huh. Huh? They do. They check you out. Good. Me too. We are in the epitome of a bubble. Our life is a bubble, man. For everybody to look at. Is that the word I'm looking for? Yeah. Yes. That's a good design when I thought. That's who they see. They see, is that a camera or is that a light? Huh? Okay. They should see us. They should see the Christ in us. And they won't read the Bible till they read us. That's the truth. And the love of Christ turns people on. People just don't understand. And that's okay. But if they're digging on you, and that's a big trick too. You pretty girls out there. There are all of you that are girls are pretty because you got Christ in you. Boy, guys are going to turn on you to you. And that's difficult sometimes. But many times the reason they're so turned on to you is because of the Christ in you. Guys, same thing. Girls turn on to you guys. If they don't look past the Christ, I mean, they don't understand yet. And you just got to hold their hand and let them step on your feet until they can step on their own. But don't get all shook if somebody just loves you. Heck, better than somebody hating us, right? Got to love you, man. People ought to be falling in love with you every day. That's right. Because of the Christ in us. And truth is only dependent upon the accuracy and integrity of God's word. That's it. Otherwise, the best you've got is facts. Ephesians 1, we're there. Verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And it put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. We can't believe until we know what the word says. We can't believe until someone teaches us. That's right. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what?
The word of God.
Amen. And no man can speak on behalf of the word better than the word can speak on behalf of itself. But we still need to be taught. Amen. What is this in the Ephesians here? What is the exceeding greatness of his power in us were to do what?
Believe.
This exceeds greatness. Believing exceeds greatness. Oh, it's the Word of God. That's the foundation upon which men must build their believing. We don't build our believing upon individuals or ministries or organizations. We build our believing upon the greatness and the accuracy and integrity of God's Word. That's what Dr. Victor Paul Werwell lived his life for. To see men and women rise up to believe God's Word. That's all. We don't build our life upon each other because we blow it. You hang around with me long enough, I'll hurt your heart and I won't even mean to. Because I'm a human. So are you. It's the Word that shows us God and His Son Jesus Christ. And that's who we're into getting to know.
Yeah.
Look at this. Verse 22 says, put all things under His feet. Everything spiritually is under our feet. And this will literally become a reality forever when the gathering together happens. Spiritually, everything's under our feet. We don't live our life for a pat on the back. Pat on the backs are nice. If you love somebody, let them know. But that's not why we live. God first, others second, ourselves third. It's all in the first commandment. Love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second is like unto it, love our neighbor as ourselves. Boy, people sure hate themselves, don't they? If the Word's true, they sure hate themselves. By the way they treat others, just shows me they hate themselves. Because the Word says, love your neighbor as yourself. People really love themselves, they treat their neighbors wonderfully. Christ is the head of the body, not you, not me, not anybody else. We only take our orders from God's Word or people that share God's Word. We bring our life to that place. So, pretty good. And you know, we all want to belong. But we're part of something so wonderful. We're part of the body. Right? We are an integral part of the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 12. Oh, there's so much in the Word of God that's so great. Verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether there we be Jews or Gentiles. And that's another wonderful thing. The world has a classification for every kind of person that exists, don't they? Mm-hmm. Blacks, whites, Orientals, they didn't, dumb, smart, intelligent, pretty, fat, ugly, zitty, nerdy, you know. We just got it all. God's classification, Jew, Gentile, Church. That's it. 1 Corinthians 10:32. You can read that some year. So, whether that's just an extra thing. Whether we be bond or free, and I've been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but what?
Many.
The body isn't one member, but there is only one body. But the body has many members. Verse 15, if the foot shall say, behold, I'm not of the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Look at your hand right now, if you want to. And your hand says, hey, that is the body, I'm going to leave you. You know, is it part of your body?
Yeah.
People sure have a lot of spiritual nerve to want to try to throw people out of the body of Christ.
How do you do that?
You might be not letting me see you, but you can't kick me out of the body of Christ. God stuck with me. He called me before the foundations of the world. He can't throw me out. If, verse 60, the ear shall say, because I'm not of the eye, I'm not of the body, is therefore not of the body. If the whole body were an eye, and I think that's an interesting thing. You see this big eye. 6 foot, 185 pound eye. Where do you hear from? If the hole were a big ear, where are you going to smell? Now God hath set the members.
Boy.
He set the members in the body. Every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased to.
Amen.
If they're all one member, where were the body? Now they are, but now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of you, hand. Nor again to the head of the feet, oh, you stink so bad when you take your shoes off. I have no need of you. Silly. Nay, verse 22. Much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Now, I'm going to get into physical education here. A woman and a man are built differently. Is that incredible or what? And a woman, part of her body that's below her waist and above her upper inner thighs. I'm 6 foot three and I weigh 220 pounds. A churning or a burning pump. And I came out of my mother little passageway. Well, that's a little part of the body you women have compared to the rest of your body, right? You all know what I'm talking about, don't you? Or do I need to do what my parents did? Hand you a book, figure it out. No. And yeah, you know, it's this little part of the body. And out of this comes this 6'3", 220-pound human. So look at this. Verse 22. Those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are what? Boy, we can't, you know, ever underestimate the beauty of the body of Christ. Gosh. And it doesn't matter if somebody's up here teaching or somebody's cleaning or somebody's, we're part of a body. Verse 23, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, and in the word of God they had, I won't get into it, but this is referring to those kind of things, like the penis and the vagina. Because they had different vessels. Some were honorable, some were less honorable. And the less honorable ones were the vessels that they pooped and peed in, which came from your butt and from your penis or your vaginal. You know, that's where you pee from, right? Pooping from your butt. And that's what's in the Word. See, we just read the Word, we go, oh, gee, that's nice. That's nice. Oh, that's nice. And then when somebody explains to the accuracy and figure, you go, oh, he's gross. Talk to God about it. If your butt's so gross, why do you have one? Get out of my face about that. We're all sitting on it. Huh? Yell at me. Yell at God. Those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. For our comely parts have we more abundant comely. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacked, that there should be no schism or division in the body, that the members should have the same care one for another. We're not to be partial in a group like this. Oh, Sandra and Johnny are getting married. But in a group like this, their care toward the body of Christ has to be equal to everybody else as well as themselves. That's right. That's the Word of God. She doesn't hang on to, oh, John, and ignore you. She's getting ripped off. You're getting ripped off. I'm getting ripped off if that's the case. We're a body. Now, when they're at home alone, boy, that's their time. When they go out on a day, that's their time. But when we're with the body of Christ, that's what's important.
Try.
And whether one member suffer or all the members suffer with it. It's fantastic how this one works. Had a guy in my heart for a week and a half.
took me a week and a half to call him, which is really, I guess I shouldn't be bragging. But I called him. He says, man, I'm sure blessed you called. I've had this need, but 10 minutes, man, just said, boom. Because he was hurt. He was hurt. And that communicated. Whether one member suffered, all members suffered, or one member honored, if one member is blessed, amen, we're all blessed. We rejoice. You know, not like some places. You know, somebody ministers to somebody else in your twig. They get healed. So the person in your twig that didn't minister feels jealous because you ministered to them and they did. Oh. You'll never minister to anybody and get them healed that way. Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God has set some in the church. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, which are all gift ministries. After that, miracles, gifts of healing, helps, government. Well, miracles, gifts of healings, those are manifestations. Helps, governments, that's something else. Diversity of tongues, manifestations. Everybody's included. Are all apostles, all prophets, all teachers, all workers of miracles, all gifts of healing, all speak with tongues, all interpret, but cover earnestly the best gifts. And yet I show unto you a more excellent way, which is recorded in 1 Corinthians chapter 13.